This evening, we're going to be continuing in our 6 days of creation series, and tonight we're going to be looking at the day-age theory. Now, this is actually the third message. Could you bring me one of those up here? I had one up here. It seemed to have disappeared. Thank you. We looked at last week, the last couple weeks that we looked at this, we looked at the gap theory. And tonight we're going to be looking at what is known as the day-age theory. And as mentioned in our previous studies, all of the theories contrary to a literal six-day creation is simply attempts at aligning the Bible to what science say is a very, very old earth. In fact, the earth is so old, no one has ever lived long enough to have seen the whole thing through history. And of course, they believe that for the most part, the earth could be approximately 4 billion years old. What the problem is many Christians who have stood standing with the Bible, who have believed in a six-day creation, believed in a earth that was approximately 6,000 years old, were standing there wondering, well, how are we going to reconcile the fact that the Bible's chronology teaches an earth of about 6,000 years old? How are we going to reconcile that with this modern science that says that the earth is, in fact, depending on when you live, if you're living 100 or 150 or 200 years ago, the earth was only a couple hundred thousand years old, and the earth has aged rapidly, by the way, over the last 200 years. It went from about 200,000 years old 200 years ago to 4 billion years old today. It's aging faster than we are, and I'm glad for that. Amen. And but they believe that this is what science teaches, and I think for my last message, I'm going to do a message on the age of the earth, looking at the facts. Does science actually teach an old earth, or does it teach a young earth? And I think if we were to honestly look at the evidence, the overwhelming amount of evidence out there, I think we can safely say that we live on a young earth. I don't believe the earth is millions of years old. I don't believe it's possible. It's not possible that the earth could be that old. And, of course, they want to use carbon dating, and everything about carbon dating is all based on, by the way, their belief that the earth is already that old. That's again, a whole other study there. As we look at this, again, as we saw the gap theory last time, that is where they believe that there was a big gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, and that millions of years or billions of years passed, there was a pre-Adamic human race that lived, and that's why we have all these human fossils, why we have dinosaurs, fossils, and all these different things. And we saw clearly that biblically, we have a hard time fitting that in, that idea. The question is, though, out of all of these theories, we've looked at only one. We're looking at another one tonight, but there are many. Progressive creationism, theistic evolution, and the list goes on and on about different ways they've tried to make the Bible spread out over billions of years. There is many different theories. The thing about it is, the thing that's interesting, they all try to fit it into the Bible, but none of them seem to fit it in the same way. Amen? They are so different. You know, we sometimes have slight differences of opinion on certain things, but they're generally slight differences of opinion. They're not as far as night is from day, but these theories, none of them are even close to one another. The day-age theory is so opposed or opposite of what the gap theory says the Bible teaches. They don't even have the same basis or foundation. Which just to me kind of proves that they're grasping at straws, and there's no real biblical evidence for what they're saying. They're opposed to each other. One believes in a literal 24-hour days of creation that we read in the Genesis account, and they believe that they should be read literally. They believe that there were 6 days of creation, but somehow they insert that long period of time, which by the way is nowhere else mentioned in the Bible or even alluded to. Another teaches that you can't take the Genesis account literally. You must, to get the billions of years, do a lot of switch and bait, maligning of scriptures, and almost look at God as if God wanted to confuse us. In other words, why, if God didn't do it the way Genesis 1:1 or Genesis chapter 1, sorry, in chapter 2 tells us he did it, why didn't he tell us how he did it? Amen? I don't understand why God would want to confuse us by saying, well, the rest of the Bible's true, but Genesis 1:1 and 2, they're not real, and you've got to figure it out. You're all on your own to try to figure out what it actually means. It's a big secret or a puzzle. I don't think God works like that. I don't think God wrote something to confuse us. I think it's very simple. Another theory teaches that we can't trust the Genesis account whatsoever. We don't even have to twist it or malign it. We don't believe it at all. God did not create things, as mentioned in the Bible. Rather, creation is accurate, and God simply took a little blob of life that rose out of that primordial soup and oversaw, guided, and directed the evolutionary process to end up to where we are today. In other words, yeah, evolution is true, but God oversaw evolution, and that's how we got here today. Again, if that was a fact, why didn't God say so? Amen? Why would he confuse us? I don't understand that. Why people can't just believe what the Bible says. That, by the way, the latter is the belief of the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church, that evolution is true, probably true, and God oversaw the evolutionary process. One does it by inserting things into the Bible that don't exist. It inserts an indefinite period of time in between Genesis 1:1 and 2. One rearranges, twists, and bends the plain teaching of the Bible. That's the one we'll look at tonight. It changes the 6 days into six long, indefinite periods of time. This undermines the plain teaching of the Bible and much of the Bible teachings of Christ. One rejects completely the teaching of the Bible and treats it as simple folklore or a tale that was told. There is simply no scientific nor historical accuracy in the Genesis account of creation. Rather, it is at best an allegory or an allegorical look at our origins. Now, before we go any further, we'll pray. We'll ask God to bless this evening and ask him to give us a clear understanding of the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you again tonight for this time to gather together. And as we look at these issues tonight, they are, I believe, serious doctrinal issues. They challenge the credibility of Christ. They challenge the credibility of the Bible. They challenge all that Christians have ever believed. And so many people are being lured away into these beliefs. Lord, I believe that we just need to believe and just simply put our faith and trust in your ability to plainly and clearly reveal to us how you created the world, why you created the world. And so, Father, tonight, as we look into this subject tonight, may we have a greater understanding of the Word of God. So blessed for your glory, we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name, and amen. Now, the day-age theory, on your handouts there, if you look on the top right corner there, you see where the cartoon is. On the top right, just above the cartoon, the day-age theory is a theory, it's a teaching that says that the days mentioned in Genesis 1 are not 24-hour days, but rather ages, or long periods of undetermined amounts of time. It alleges the earth to be millions or even billions of years old. Now, the question is, were these days mentioned in Genesis 24-hour days, or were they ages? There are those who believe that the days of Genesis were normal 24-hour days, just as Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, etc. are 24-hour days. And then there are those who have sprung up in recent days that believe that Genesis chapter 1, the days were not 24-hour days, but rather days representing an age or a long period of time. They believe that each day age lasted thousands or perhaps even millions of years old, and this is called the day age theory. What does God say? Again, we looked at this verse last week in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11. The Bible says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven, earth, the sea, and all that in them is." And I don't know why we need to go out any further than that. The Bible says that God created everything in 6 days. And we'll get into this later, but to me it would only add confusion if these days weren't the days that we normally associate with days, without plainly telling us or teaching us or showing us that. Now here's the problem. Now this is the problem. Why do some people say that these 6 days were ages? There are men out there, Hugh Ross. He's a biologist. He's an extreme, I mentioned him before. He's an extremely intelligent man. He's a good speaker, good debater. He's a likable guy. You want to go up and be his friend. He is. He's a very, very cordial individual. When he debates, he's not degrading. He's not demeaning to other people. He has a answer for everything. The problem is, most of his answers, 99% of the people would never even understand what his answers were, but he can make them sound good. Amen? He can make it sound real good. Well, there's a challenge. That looks really hard to answer, and he has an answer for it, but nobody knows what he said. Unless you know Greek and Hebrew and 55,000 other languages and all these biological terms and scientific terms. In other words, you can't understand the Bible unless you're Hugh Ross. I can't even understand Hugh Ross. But he understands the Bible, so we just got to listen to him. Now, Hugh Ross, John Ankerberg, by the way, was swooned by Hugh Ross, and John Ankerberg is now a vocal proponent of the day-age theory, and he is, if you were to go on the Creation Research Institute for Creation Research that was started by Henry Morris years ago, he wrote a 10-page letter to them recently explaining his position, basically saying that we are simply wrong. And not only that, we are dumb. And that the reason I say that, he didn't use those exact words, the reason I say that is this. He says in that letter that we are hindering the gospel by believing in a six-day creation. Now, why are we hindering the gospel? I'll tell you why and what his reasoning is. Who remembers Stockwell Day? Remember Stockwell Day? He was running to be the leader of the Alliance Party. We can rely on Alliance. He was running for the leadership. And I remember when I came into work one day when I was at Ford and had a newspaper, when we started reading the newspaper, and on the front page, it took up like pretty much the whole front page of the paper. And the whole article was why Stockwell Day was not qualified to be our prime minister because he believed in a six-day creation. In other words, they're saying, if you believe in a six-day creation, you're dumb. And if he believes this, how is he going to run our country? And so when you talk to people today and you say, well, I believe in a six-day creation, most of the world is so convinced that we live in an old earth. So many people are convinced that evolution is a fact, that if we say that we believe in a six-day creation, that the earth is only 6,000 years old, people automatically think that we're dumb. Why, how in the world can you possibly believe that when science says, well, I'm sorry, but science doesn't say. We interpret, amen? This is what men interpret. So that is the idea, and that's where John Ankerberg has one of the reasons he's jumped on board and maligning young earth believers. And of course, if you've ever seen the debate between Kent Hovind and Hugh Ross on the John Ankerberg show, Kent Hovind said afterwards, he said it was 2-1, John Ankerberg and Hugh Ross against him. John Ankerberg jumped right all over Kent Hovind for his belief in a young earth. And Hovind certainly did have to debate both of them because it was a clear attack on a young earth during that debate there. But evolutionary scientists believe that life in its present form, including men, monkeys, giraffes, kangaroos, birdfish, plants, and all life as we know it today, is the product of an evolutionary process that has lasted about 4 billion years, more or less, depending on the latest theories, whatever is new and improved in the theories. That is a very, very, very long time, 4 billion years. That's a very, very long time. Now, for 4 billion years, this is an evolutionist, for 4 billion years, there evolved the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. That is a quote from a Christian evolutionist who believes that Exodus chapter 20 should be written that way. For in 4 billion years, there evolved the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them is. That's, again, a direct quote. 4 billion years, according to them, is the time needed for evolution. We have 365 days in a year. And if you look on your handout there, that is one trillion, 460 billion days for life to evolve. That's a long time. That's like 4 billion years. If we were to understand that and try to put it into perspective, how long 4 billion years is. The problem is, why has science changed from 200,000 years old, 200 years ago, 150 years ago, to 4 billion years? Because back in Darwin's day, Darwin believed that life was very simple. Darwin looked into a microscope and saw an amoeba or a paramecium or some sort of little creature down there that, or a bacteria or something, and they thought it was just a little blob of nothing, jelly. It was very primitive. And certainly this could rise up and turn into a human being in a couple hundred thousand years. Well, the more science advanced, the more they realized that that little bacteria, the most primitive form of life, is more complicated, more complex than we could ever imagine. They started realizing the human complexities, the complexities of our solar system, the complexities of life, the complexities of everything, and they started realizing we need more than 200,000 years to make all of this happen. So they started making it longer and longer and longer. The more science advanced and the more they started discovering the truth, instead of coming to the logical conclusion that if everything is so complex, there must have been a creator. They would never, ever stop at that, because one of the laws of science, and by the way, there is only one law of science. We have the Ten Commandments. They have one commandment, and the only commandment in modern science is you cannot evoke a supernatural being in any evolutionary or any scientific process. So God is out. Period. If any scientific evidence points to creation, it's out, because that's the law of science today. No God, no science that points in that direction. You are not doing science if you evoke a supernatural being. So they say it took 1,460,000,000,000 days for life to evolve. Now the question is, can life evolve in that many days? Is it possible for life to evolve to its current state in that many days? Well, first of all, Louis Pasteur, years and years ago, scientifically proved that life cannot come from non-life. He proved that scientifically. And we've also, as we've looked at human life, as we've looked at life forms, as we looked at the complexities of everything around us, we realize that these are probably systems that are more complex than even 4 billion years could allot. So let me ask you this question. Suppose you had a monkey pounding away at a typewriter. You just sat a monkey in front of a typewriter and said to the monkey, type, and he could type. And he started just pounding those keys, just hitting them. How long do you think it would be before he actually typed a legible word? If he did, he could probably, maybe in a few weeks, type, maybe even a couple hours. He might be able to type a legible word. How long would it be before he typed a legible sentence? Well, maybe a couple thousand years. Maybe a million years for a legible sentence. How long would it be before he could type the book of Genesis? Could we leave him there for 15 trillion years? Could we leave him there just pounding in those keys and a perfect copy of the book of Genesis be written out? You would say, Pastor, that's absolutely impossible. Well, you know, our DNA codes are hundreds of times more. They're written codes, by the way. They're literally written codes. Like much like a computer program, they're more complex. They're far more complex than writing out Genesis. And before life can begin, you have to have DNA, and that's the problem. That's the biggest problem. You have to have the DNA. You have to have the complexity before you have the life, and they can't figure that out. So you could also say, suppose you were to line up a series of alphabetical blocks so that they spelled out your name, just whatever your name is, like Scrabble blocks, and you were to take them and throw them on the floor, randomly throw them on the floor, how many times would it take before it spelled out your name? You'd be there for a long, 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 long time. And again, evolutionists admit that evolution seems impossible and that the chances against it are even of ever so happening are great. But they claim that if you have enough time, anything is possible. National Geographic's magazine in 1976, page 390, said this: the odds against the right molecules being in the right place at the right time to form the first living cells are staggering. Yeah, it's very staggering to think of the odds of that happening. Yet, as science measures it, so is the time scale on which nature works. Indeed, what seems an impossible occurrence at any one moment would, given untold eons or ages of time, come to a certainty. Give time. Time is their hero, the hero of their plot. Give anything enough time. The Bible says that God created everything in 6 days. Evolution says everything evolved in billions of years. Now, here's our problem. A few people listen to God and believe that creation took place six literal 24-hour days. Most people listen to, on the other hand, they'll listen to the evolutionists who believe that that evolution took 4 billion years. And that's another one of John Ankerberg's arguments, by the way, is that the majority, you know what? Wasn't it the majority that Moses found at the bottom of Mount Sinai, worshiping and wanting to go back to Egypt, worshiping the golden image, carrying on? And since when is the majority, there been a moral majority, or because the majority believes something, it's been right? You know, the majority of the United States, the majority of Americans voted for Obama. Well, it's got to be true then. He's got to be the best. I don't care if it's the majority, amen. I just believe what the Bible says. Some people think that they can listen to God and listen to evolution as well. And this is where we have the problem. People are trying to wed the Bible to evolution. They are trying to believe that both are true. They believe that the days of Genesis 1 were not really days, but long ages. And let's think about this for a second. If each of these ages were of equal length, how long would each day age be? If you were to do the math, 6 days at 4 billion years, 600 or 666 million years. I don't know if that's an accident or not, but I thought it was very interesting. 666, by the way, do the math. 666,666,666. Now, I'm not one of these spooky numerologist guys, but I think that's kind of interesting. Each day would be more than 666 million years. These are very, and this is important as we look into Genesis here. Consider that 666 million years for each one. Before we answer this, the questions as to which one is correct, were the days long periods of time or were they really ages? I do admit, and I don't know, nobody's hiding from this fact. They all think like we're afraid of this fact, that yes, sometimes in the Bible the word day refers to age or ages. We don't hide from that. I'm not afraid of that fact. It's like a Calvinist accused me one time of being afraid of the term elect. Well, I'm not afraid of the term elect. I'm afraid of your definition of it. But I'm not afraid of that word. I'm not scared to study it or to look at it. And they say, well, you're afraid to face the fact that the day, a day in the Bible, can refer to an age. We use it today to refer to ages in our vocabulary and in our vernacular. But we always know the context, amen? You put it in context. You can tell pretty quick if somebody's talking about a long period of time, an era, or whether they're talking about a literal day. We can say this, for instance, we live in the day of grace. We know that's not a single day. It's a time period. We can say the day of the Lord. That doesn't refer to a single day. It refers to a time when Christ comes. The 7-year tribulation, that whole period will be the day of the Lord. The day of Jacob's trouble, again, referring to the tribulation period. Speaking of more than a 24-hour period of time, we might use the day in this way. We are living in a day when men love themselves, love money, love pleasures rather than God. That's, again, another instance where we may use the word day to refer to a long period of time. George Washington lived in a day when there were no cars, no telephones, and no airplanes. So, again, we can look at that word And yes, it does sometimes refer to it. So we're going to look at Genesis chapter 1 in your Bibles. We're going to look at this, and we are going to see, I think, clearly in context, I don't think there's any guesswork involved here, that we would look at these days and realize very clearly that they are, in fact, 24-hour periods of time. And we're going to look at eight reasons there in your handouts, eight reasons why the 6 days of creation were literal days. Number one is the term evening and morning. Now, if you're in the habit of underlining in your Bible or highlighting, I'm not asking you to do it now, but do it later. Go through Genesis 1:1 and underline or highlight all of the places where you see the evening and morning. Now, in your handout there, you see there's an E-M, E-M, E-M. Now, that is how many times the evening and morning occurs in Genesis chapter 1. Now, if you were to take your pen on your handout there and circle, there's one E-M for every day. It's pretty simple. Just circle one E-M, another E-M, another E-M. And how many do you come up with? Six. Very simple. That's how many times evening and morning occur in Genesis chapter 1. God has carefully defined the word day by the expressions evening and morning. Now, anybody who's reasonable would admit that one day has one evening and one morning. How many people do not need that explained to them? We all know that. Amen? I don't need to explain that. Every day has one evening and one morning. Now, 666 million years, how many evening and mornings would there be in 666 million years? There'd be a lot. I think there'd be about 666 million of them. So we see, I'm sorry, if there were 666 million, you guys would be doing a lot of underlining on here, amen? Evening and morning, and evening and morning, and evening and morning, and evening and morning, and evening. 666 million times, that was the first day. Ooh, I'm glad that's over with, amen? And so evening and morning, a clear qualifier here we have a day, a solar day. I remember years ago talking to one person who believed that the days were 7,000 years. And I said, 7,000 years? And I said, but the Bible says that they're solar days. Oh, yes, yes, they were solar days. They were solar days. Because it says clearly in the Bible that there is the evening and morning, and we'll look at another one, day and light, a period of day and light in one of these days, only one. And they said, yeah, it's a period. I said, so you're telling me that half of the earth was dark for 3,500 years? Whoa. And you could see the expression on their face. They never thought about this before. And I said, yeah, everything would be in darkness. That means when you went to bed, you won't wake up for 3,500 years. That's a long nap. And some of you are thinking, boy, I could use a nap like that right now. Amen. And I said, you know how cold it would get? I said, you know how cold it would get if you had to wait 3,500 years for the sun to come up? I said, we would have a frozen earth, at least popsicle on one side, Sahara Desert on the other side. That's essentially what would happen. And I said, what about all the plant life that doesn't have sun? What about... And we could go on and on and on. And again, this person sitting there thinking, you know, you could see them thinking, I've never thought about that before. I'm just telling you what my cult told me. You know, this is what they told me. Because Charles Russell did some calculations on a pyramid and come up with these numbers. And, you know, they don't put any thought into it. So Daniel chapter 8 and verse 14, you don't have to turn there. But it tells us, if we were to take a literal, if you were to look at the literal Hebrew text, it would say, unto 2,300 evening and mornings, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And for those that have been out for, or that were out for our Daniel study, we know that all of the days in Daniel, all of that time period, those weeks of Daniel were all literal days fulfilled. And 2,300 days, 2,300 evening and mornings. And that's, by the way, it does use the expression evening and mornings there in Daniel. But again, the actual literal translation there would be 2,300 evening and mornings. If you were to look at that, that would be 2,300 days, 24-hour solar days. And if we look at history, it was true. Now, if these days, these evening and mornings, were 666 million years, that would be a long time, amen, to wait for the cleansing of the temple. So we see evening and morning is clearly associated with days, a solar day. Again, every 24-hour day has an evening and morning, a day or an age doesn't. How about numeric adjustives? Number two there, numeric adjustives. God also defines the word day by putting a number before it. And again, in Genesis 1, verse 5, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, I would like to say that every single instance, in every instance, whenever there's a numeric qualifier, it's talking about a literal 24-hour day. But there is the odd exception, but it's very rare. We generally, when we say the first or second day, whenever we're speaking, it's generally almost always talking about a literal 24-hour solar day. So we can consider lots of different verses in the Bible, Numbers 7, 12, 18, 24, 30, 36, 42, 48, are examples of that. We see that in the Bible. It's talking, so when we see the Bible talking about 6 days or the first day or whenever a number occurs before a day, it's almost always talking about, a literal 24-hour day. Let's consider a couple of examples there. We are living in the day of manned space flight. Is that a 24-hour day? No. We all know. We don't have to explain that. We don't need Hugh Ross or anyone else to explain that that's talking about a long period of time. Now, if I was to say this, I can remember the day when I was in first grade. Was that talking about... Or sorry, let's back up. I went too far here. So, we live in a day of manned space flight. Let me ask this question. Have you learned in history class about the first day of manned space flight? Is that talking about a 24-hour day or is that talking about an age or an era? A day. Because we're saying, I remember the first day. Did we put a number qualifier? Clearly, it's talking about a solar day. The next one here, I can remember the day when I was in first grade. Is that talking about a 24-hour period? No, that's not a 24-hour period. Let's look at it another way. I can still remember the third day of first grade when the teacher told me to stand in the corner of the classroom because I was not behaving. That's a day. That is a 24-hour day. There's a numeric qualifier. Genesis chapter 2, 4. In the day the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, how long was this day? 24 hours. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11. Genesis chapter 1:31, in the evening and the morning, I did get that wrong. That one there, in the day the Lord God made the heaven and the earth, that is 6 days. That's not a 24-hour day. That's a period of 6 days. But if I was to say, or if we were to look at Genesis 1:31, in the evening and the morning were the sixth day, putting a numeric qualifier there, is that talking about a 24-hour period? Yes, clearly. So again, we have numeric qualifiers that show us that Genesis 1:1 is talking about solar days. Number three there, on the other side of your page, we see day-night. And this is a very... Look in verse 5 of Genesis chapter 1. The Bible says, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So we have a day-light period. Now this is another thing. Day can refer to sometimes as only the 12-hour period of daylight. And here, it's clearly only talking about that 12-hour period of daylight, day and night. When we see it in that context, we all understand that he's talking about a 12-hour period of daylight. So, again, the first day, the Bible goes on to say that this was the first day. One period of day, one period of light, one period of darkness, or one period of night. So we can do the math again there. I have the days and the nights. You circle them, one day, one night, one period of sunlight, one period of night, equal one day. How many days are there? There are 6 days. Again, this isn't rocket science. We can figure this out. There are 6 days. There are 6 periods of day and night mentioned in Genesis chapter 1. There are 6 periods of day and night. Now, as I mentioned, that fella who told me that the periods of day and night were 7,000 years, that's really ludicrous. But there's a lot of people that believe that. Again, It couldn't be possible. So again, we see the day and night. That's clear as it can be. So we see not only the evening and the morning, but we see a day-night period, one day-night period in the first day. Number four there, the fourth day. And again, this is Genesis 1:15-19. Let's read that, Genesis 1:15-19. The Bible says, "And let them be for lights in the firmaments of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the great light to rule over the day, okay, and the lesser light to rule over the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven and to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day." So again, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 15 to 19, it describes the fourth day of creation. In these verses, the word day or days is used five times. Of these five times, they either refer to a literal 12-hour period or a literal 24-hour period of time. Clearly, again, the day and the night being separated, those are 12-hour periods. And again, in one day. The seventh day, number five, we see the seventh day. The seventh day was a 24-hour period. By the way, John Ankerberg believes that we are still, the Sabbath hasn't ended. When God created everything in 6 days, and then the Sabbath day, it was his day of rest, he actually has come up somehow in the Bible to believe that we are still in the seventh day. So I guess it's going to last for 666 billion, million years before we're actually out of the Sabbath. The problem is, if we're still in the Sabbath, we shouldn't be working. Amen? If we're still in the Sabbath, we're still in the Old Testament covenant. And we could go on and on and on why that's not biblical. But in order to be to try to make the Bible say things that it doesn't say, you got to start twisting all kinds of things out of shape. But again, here we see the seventh day. The seventh day was a 24-hour day. In Genesis 1:2, verses 1 to 3, which day were Adam and Eve created on? Sixth day. They were created on the sixth day, day six. Did God curse the earth on the seventh day? Was the earth cursed on the seventh day? You know, when man fell and God said, God cursed, right? After the fall of man, did that happen on the seventh day? No, it didn't. So it happened sometime after the seventh day. Clearly, if you follow the chronology, the Sabbath did end sometime after that man fell, then God cursed the earth. Now that's important. He didn't curse it on that seventh day. Did Adam and Eve live beyond the seventh day? Yes. Now, here's where I'm going with this. How old was Adam when he died? According to Genesis 5, verses 4 and 5, he was 930 years old. He lived a long time. The seventh day was not a long period or a long age lasting thousands or millions of years old, because Adam lived right through the whole thing. Amen? He lived right through it. And he was only 950 years old. Now, again, this is only conjecture. But if we were to consider that Adam and Eve were created on the sixth day, and if you were to read the account, a lot of things happened on that sixth day. And just to be safe, if we were to say that that Adam was created in the middle of the day, that means he's another half day old. So if these days were long periods of time, that would make Adam 999 million years old. The Bible says he was 930 years old. How could he live through 1.5 days and only be 930 years old? Well, because the days were 24-hour days. Amen? And was everybody clear on that one? Yeah, I think that's pretty straightforward as well. So we see the seventh day, I think, clearly shows us that Adam lived through at least 1.5 of these days. Probably, I shouldn't say at least, probably 1.5, at least one, but more likely to be, again, a conjecture here, to be safe, probably 1.5, we could assume. Now, number six there, the fourth commandment. Now, this commandment is found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. And there, the word day or days is used six times. In these verses, we learn that God's work, or working and resting, was to serve as a pattern for Israel's rest and working. Okay? This is, to me, this was the clincher. I mean, this, as far as I'm concerned, should basically be the no-brainer that we should be able to say, hey, listen, this is clearly what God has done. He's not a God of confusion. And again, in these verses, we learn that God the working and resting that God did in creation was to serve as a pattern for Israel's working and resting. God told the children of Israel that he wanted them to work 6 days and rest on the seventh day because this was exactly what God did when he created the heavens and the earth. Did you know when God created everything in 6 days, it wasn't an accident? How many people already figured that out? It wasn't an accident. You know, when I used to work on an assembly line, it took about 9 hours from the first part that got put on the assembly line, when either the frame or the engine or something was put on the assembly, it took 9 hours to go through that entire plan. That's pretty quick, by the way, for an entire car to be painted and put together and running and shipped, and about 9 hours. Now, if Ford could do it, do you think Ford would have done it, or any other car company, by the way? Do you think that they would have if we can do it, let's put them out 1 second, amen? Let's just take 1 second to do it. So is 9 hours, when it comes to Ford, or any other company, let's say, who's taking 9 hours to build a car, is that an accident? Why does it take 9 hours? Because that's the best they can do, right? That's the best they can do. Now, when God created everything in 6 days, he didn't say, well, that's the best I could do. He didn't say, well, that's just the amount of time it took me. You know, Charlotte paints, and she may take 4 hours or 10 weeks, or depending on how much time she puts into it, that's how much time it takes to do something. And that's just how much time. It takes so much time to do a brake job. Connor's doing a brake job. I'm sure he would like that brake job to have been done a lot sooner. But when you get the wrong parts, or they put the wrong parts in the box, it makes it hard to do it in a period of time. If we could do it, we could snap our fingers and have it done. You know, God didn't need to take 6 days to create the earth. Amen? He didn't have to do it in 6 days. He could have done it in a millisecond. He did it his way. He did it purposely in 6 days for a pattern for us. That we are to work 6 days and we are to rest 1 day. Science, by the way, and doctors, they've proven over and over that that is exactly how our bodies work. We need a day of rest. And so God did it on purpose. Now my question is, if God could have done it in 6 days, if God could have done it in 6 seconds, if God could have done it in 6 milliseconds, why would he do it in long periods of time, and then tell us to do it in 6 24-hour days and say, this is the pattern, this is the example, and then not really tell us and leave us all confused? He wouldn't. He wouldn't. God isn't going to confuse us. He did it on purpose in 6 days to be a pattern. There's nowhere in the Bible where God says, well, by the way, I did it in 4 billion years or 6 eras of long time. I haven't really told you anywhere in the Bible. I know you and Hugh Ross will figure it out eventually. But I want everybody for thousands of years to be confused on this issue. I've done it in millions of years. I want you to do it in 24-hour days. It's confusion. That's all it is. It's confusion. It adds confusion to the Bible. It makes God an author of confusion. If God did it in 6 days to be a pattern, he did it in 6 literal days, just like we're to do it in 6 literal days. Amen? I think that's very, very obvious. Number 7 there, we see the days being plural. Or days in plural. And again, Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, we are told that the Lord made everything in 6 days, plural. The word days is plural. When the word day is used in the plural, as in days, it almost always refers to literal 24-hour days. The word day singular can be used of a period of time that is longer than 24 hours. The day of the Lord, the day of grace, the day of trouble, the day of modern science. Again, we've gone through some of these examples already. But the moment a person speaks about days plural, he is talking about a 24-hour day. Again, all of the common uses of the word day, and that's another argument we're not going to look at, but the common use, the normal use of the word day is clearly a 24-hour period. That 90% of the time, 95% of the time when it's used, that's how it's used. And when it is talking about a longer period of time, clearly the context defines that. Most people here have probably never been confused when somebody's speaking to them about and said something day or days or an era or a period of time and ever walked away confused. Was he talking about a real day or was he talking about a period? We all know by the context, amen? It's not a confusing issue. So again here, that word day almost always refers, days plural always refers to a literal 24-hour period. And finally here, make your choice. And this is where I think a lot of Christians just need to make a decision. You can't listen to both God and evolutionists. You can't do it. They don't teach the same thing. If Genesis is true, then evolution is false. If evolution is true, then the Bible is filled with errors. You know, we could look at the Genesis account and try to line it up with what the evolutionists say came first. They say that water came first before life and plants and different things. Plants came, they say whales came before land animals and vice versa. But then, by the way, the whales come out of the water, started walking, and or animals, those little things that grew in the water billions of years ago, that little one-cell creature finally grew legs and walked out of the water and became a cow. And the cow decided he wanted to go back in the water, and he became a whale. And so they're out of the water, they're in the water, they don't know where they want to be. But you follow that, that's not the way the Genesis account tells it. It's the other way around. We could go on and on about the differences between what evolutionists say and what the Bible says. Again, you cannot wed the two. You either have to believe one or the other. Again, Jesus said that the Word of God is true. And we know that God's Word is true from the beginning. Again, who should you believe? Who should you believe? We should believe God, amen? We should believe the Creator. And again, what we need to do is ask this question: will you put your faith in a false god or the false god of the evolutionists who need billions of years to do his work, or will you put your faith in the Almighty Creator who can create all things in six literal days? And that's, again, the question. Now, there's one other thing I didn't put on here, but I want us to consider this as well. And I know I mentioned this in the gap theory as well, where Jesus said, speaking on marriage, he said, haven't you read that from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female? For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the twain shall become one flesh. And Jesus said that that took place at the beginning of the creation. Now, they will tell you that that may not have been that long ago, but those other days were, you know what I mean? If you were to look at the whole thing, when Adam and Eve lived, maybe here, but those other first 5 days are great big long periods of time, right? So Christ said that they were created. Adam and Eve were, and marriage were, the Bible says, God said that was at the beginning of the creation. If there was 4 billion years of history before that, and only 6,000 years of history after that, would that be the beginning of the creation? Yes or no? Oh, I've lost you here. Okay. According to the gap theorists, we'll look at them or look at Dage theorists. Look at the Dage theory. Every day they believe could be millions and millions of years old. So let's just say this is the very, very beginning. Genesis 1:1. We have 666 million years, 660 million years, and we go on, day 4, day 5, 600, all of those 4 billion years up to when Adam and Eve were finally created. The earth is old by now. You see where I'm getting at? The earth is old by now. By the time Adam and Eve came around, I mean, they probably should have had computers by then, at least, you know, and had a little more modern science. But they came along here, and then this little baby step over here to Jesus. And Jesus said from the beginning of the creation, back just right here, God created male and female and instituted marriage. And he said that was the beginning of the creation. But according to them, the beginning of creation was way over here, back here, billions of years ago. So the question, the fact of the matter is we can't get around it. Jesus said that when Adam and Eve were created and when marriage was instituted, that was the beginning. There was no millions of years or billions of years beforehand. So again, it certainly attacks the credibility of Jesus and what Jesus said and what he considered to be the Genesis account of creation. Obviously, Christ believed in a literal 6 days of creation. Amen? And let's, again, take what we've learned, and again, in a day when so many different things are being attacked, undermining the authority of the Bible, I think these relative issues are important for us to understand. Let's just stick with the Bible. Amen? And we'll pray together. Father, again, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the evening that we've been able to look and study into the Word of God and see clearly in the Bible that, God, you are the God of creation. You've done it for a specific reason. You took 6 days to be and to show us a pattern of how we should labor and rest. We know that, again, your Word is true. We don't need to ever question it just because science, so-called, has deemed the world to be millions or billions of years old. We can be confident in knowing, God, that we can believe the Bible. We know that your Word is true. We know, God, that you are the great God who can do whatever he wants. We'll praise you and thank you and ask, God, that you would give us a token for good from what we've read and seen tonight. So we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Let's stand together.